Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Hail to you, our King, obedient to the Father. You were led to your crucifixion like a gentle lamb to the slaughter. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Friends, it feels almost a fitting bookend to our penitential season of Lent to see this space so filled with so many of you, to see so many of you avail yourselves of the sacrament of mercy, of confession, and to see it in a fitting way as a bookend to Ash Wednesday, which, like this day, draws the attention of so many. At the outset of the sacred Triduum, we find ourselves here on Spy Wednesday, a day in which the Church invites us to consider the betrayal of Judas and our own betrayal through sin. We see its resonance borne out. Like Ash Wednesday, it seems to touch upon something unique and yet common in each one of us, our own experience of our woundedness and sin. And so similarly, this evening, here in the darkness and the sobriety of this night, as we step forth into our Lord's hour of need, as his passion begins, the time of his resurrection, we find ourselves similarly drawn to this person of Judas, this betrayer, this spy. And how did Judas's betrayal happen? There are two notes that Scripture offers to us in Matthew's account. One, the question that should sort of linger in our own hearts, the question that Judas asks, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" It's a haunting question from Judas, and we don't really receive the rest of the exchange. If Judas had to, like over a piece of cattle, barter his way up to 30 pieces of silver, how low would have not been enough for Judas to deny the master? Or would he have done it for anything? Truthfully, he really did not do it for much. These 30 pieces of silver, a parallel account that we receive in the book of Exodus is, this is the price to be paid to the master of a slave if that slave is gored by an ox. That's how much money you get for the death and burial of that slave. If your ox gores somebody's slave, you owe 30 pieces of silver. The sort of banal note here from the book of Exodus being attributed to our Lord adds almost a sting of humility as well to the wager that he receives. And we hear almost in Judas's request for silver, what are you willing to give me? We hear in it this great desire for comfort and peace that the world claims it can provide. And yet how little was he willing to settle for? This, the same person who scoffed in duplicity at the Lord's acceptance of the perfumed oil poured over him by Mary, that worth 300 denarii, we now see him settling for far less. And indeed, friends, this is really the terrible and frightening reality of sin as we think of ourselves so heroic and so virtuous. And yet that is the same question that Satan seeks to barter with each one of you and with each one of us. What are you willing to give me to hand him over? Friends, what are you willing to give the world to betray our Lord? And we realize, like Judas, we find in him a kindred spirit, for like him, we would give not much, a passing fancy, a momentary happiness, a finite end, all of this offered up, absent the infinite love that God invites us to. I remember a few years ago, I was helping out at a parish in the diocese that had no priest available for Holy Week, and so I had the great privilege of praying with them for Palm Sunday and for the sacred Triduum itself. Now, there's a practice on Good Friday that if the crowd is so great and so grand that it would be unreasonable to expect every person to come forward and venerate the cross, that you can hold a cross aloft and people can venerate from their pews. This would have been a crowd probably half your size at this small parish. And yet this parish had been in the practice of just simply holding a cross aloft and asking everyone to venerate on Good Friday from their pews. I countered, how about we kiss the cross on Good Friday? We have enough time. It's prayer. We don't need to rush. And so I sort of made the announcement because the parish for a long time had not been in that practice. And so I made that announcement just in the notes on Palm Sunday. Just let them know that this would be the Friday practice. And I remember as I came there earlier to work with some of the servers and to prepare for Good Friday's service, there was a parishioner there who came to me and spoke to me. And he conveyed this great fear and anxiety that he had at having to come forward and to venerate our Lord on the cross. Over and over, he said, I should not be there. I'm not worthy. And I could watch him. I was transfixed by him during that service, as I could see the interior turmoil of seeing him wrestling with this. He was anxious and fidgeting during the Passion narrative, that everything leading up to it, I could hear his words sort of echoing in my own heart, I'm not worthy, I should not be there. I do not deserve to be there. He came forward finally, as one of the last to come forward to venerate, in tears streaming down his face, he knelt before the wood of the cross, he bowed his head, and he kissed the corpus, and he continued to weep freely, and I could see from him a great freedom set in. As his shoulders relaxed and his anxiety left him, he went forth renewed by that tender moment and that encounter with the Lord. I share that image with you in anticipation of Good Friday itself because we see this same tension in the heart of Judas. The gospel accounts share with us as well that it was Judas who felt these silver coins burning a hole in his pocket, burning a hole in his very heart. Judas returns and he leaves it aside and he regrets his decision and he weeps bitterly at his betrayal. And the high priest would have nothing to do with this money, for it was blood money, so it cannot be spent in the temple, so set aside to purchase a field. And we know not much else of Judas other than his great despair, which led to the great destruction of his own life, cementing his legacy as the betrayer of our Lord. We see that tension in his heart, friends, and we see his struggle with the reality of the Lord's mercy. The tension's borne out for us in the gospel today that having been paid 30 pieces of silver, from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over, feeling almost the inevitability of his betrayal, hearing our Lord prophesy to its truth, seeing his brothers murmur amongst one another, "Whom of us will it be?" and knowing it to be himself. We see Judas struggle with the same question, knowing of the Lord's mercy and seeing it countless times, and yet also knowing that he did not deserve it, he was not worthy, he should not be there. In our Lord's mystical revelation to St. Catherine of Siena, in her dialogue, she recounts our Lord's exchange in which he speaks of Judas's betrayal. And he talks not of his betrayal as his great sin, but our Lord describes to St. Catherine of Siena the scorning of my mercy. The scorning of my mercy that Judas assumed. And so he says to Catherine, "So the despair of Judas displeased me more and was a greater insult than his betrayal had ever been." Friends, throughout Lent, we know of our sin, we know of our woundedness, and we know of our betrayal. And we feel that sin like those coins burning a hole in our very hearts, and we can be tempted to run from the Lord. And yet the cross is the place of salvation. The cross is the place that calls us. The cross is the place of communion with him, and it's where we begin to share in his great work of mercy. That everything in us tells us we should not be there. Everything in us tells us that we do not deserve his mercy. But do not belittle the Lord with your sin by thinking yourself so far gone. Do not despair of the mercy that the Lord has promised for you. This is the great invitation of this evening and of this Triduum, that as we walk with the Lord throughout his passion, have the strength to be his friend who remains by his side. Sin and all, the Lord delights in you, and he desires to be with you. And in the light of Easter morning, it is his mercy and goodness that will greet you.